May seem a bit silly, didn't it? Maybe a little creepy at the same time. But how silly would it be to stay in kindergarten your entire life? But that's what I want to address this morning, is to discuss the fact, as believers, how many of us still only want to spend time on the elementary teachings or basics of what Christianity is. And we need to get past that. We need to get past that. We need to grow towards maturity. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, but in your thinking be mature." We're going to build a topic in the sermon today on this specific verse, that we need to have mature thinking as believers, and we cannot no longer think about just the elementary teachings. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful that we can be here this morning. We're thankful that we can be in your house to worship you. We've had a nice worship morning so far, worshiping you through prayer and through song, Lord, and you've touched our hearts, and we're thankful for that. We pray, O Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to understand what you're asking us to do. Challenge us, Father, through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think about this idea of not being children in your thinking. You think of, well, what is it then to think like a child? You know, what do kids do? What do children do? There's a lot of things, obviously, kids do that we wish as parents they wouldn't do, right? A lot of mistakes that they make, a lot of challenges that they might have. But we know that children, for the most part, depend on others. They need constant guidance and direction. They continually need to be taught on what to do. For babies, they need help just eating and changing and getting dressed and everything. That's a child is very dependent. But children also tend to have characteristics or traits of arguing. They might fight a lot. They always want their own way. They're impatient. They're rude. They're jealous. They can be very shallow when they're thinking. They can be very selfish, inconsiderate. Kids are not very focused. Their attention span is very short. But Paul again warns us. He says, do not be children in your thinking. Do not be children in your thinking. Do not be immature in how you think. I would suggest then that if we are childlike in our thinking, if we are like a child when we think, then we're going to act like a child. Right? If that's what we're going to think about, that's how we're going to learn, then that's the action that we're going to have in our life. But again, he reminds us in your thinking, to be mature. To be mature. So let's define some characteristics of maturity. What it is to be mature in thinking. Well, first of all, I think a mature individual is independent. A mature individual teaches others. A mature individual will take the lead, will help others, will teach. Okay, they don't need everything to be done for them. They can think about and make a decision. Some of the attitudes or characteristics that we'll see in a mature individual is someone that's loving, that's a servant, that's patient, that's kind. They are focused, and their focus is usually on others. They're dedicated. They teach others. There's stability in their lives. They help others. We look at the passage in Galatians chapter 5, we can see that there's a list of fruits, and we've covered these many of times in this church. Evidence of things in your life to show whether you are spiritually maturing or carnally developed, if I can put it that way. Read with me. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are evidence or symptoms of immaturity. They're evidence or indications of those that are living according to the flesh and not those living according to the Spirit. Paul continues to write in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. The idea of walking by the Spirit, a maturity exists, then these fruit should exist. These evidence of our lives should exist. The fruit your life bears will be evident of your spiritual maturity. There are solid indications that will clue you in if you are growing towards maturity or not. And I want to cover some of those this morning. First we look at is in Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. So I'm going to list for you this morning. Hopefully you have a notepad and a piece of paper. Of course, a notepad and piece of paper would be the same thing. A pen to write on that notepad or piece of paper. Let's write down 7 indications that would help you understand if you are still childish in your faith or immature. 7 indications that you are still childish in your faith or immature. The first one, you find that you fight with other believers. I would say that just like a selfish baby or a child, you always want to get your own way. Any of us that have raised children, especially when they're in that, what's that stage, the terrible twos, which I think for some start about 6 months after birth and don't end until about 12, right? That stage of life where those children always insist on getting their own way, always want to get what they want. Well, how about on a believer's side? You do not accept the advice or admonition without being defensive. This would be an indication of immaturity. When a brother or sister wants to provide some advice or spiritual direction, or perhaps you're admonished for something that you didn't recognize you were doing, but yet immaturity, you'd want to be defensive about that. Immaturity would say you want to argue or you want to defend your position. You feel the need to argue about just about everything. No matter what it is, you want to argue about it. This is the first indication of immaturity. Let's counter that with some passages here in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. And even now, you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? So Paul's pretty clear here that an indication of immaturity is, number one, you're following the flesh. You're living by what the desires of the flesh wants you to do. And then there's jealousy and there's envying and there's arguments. That's not growing towards maturity. The second indication. Me, me, me. You think that it's all about you. Everything's about you. Right? That's what a child is. For the most part, children like to be the center of attention. They want their needs met. It's all about them. They like to be in the spotlight. They like people to look at them and laugh if they do something silly. Because it's all about them. Me, me, me. That is an indication of immaturity. How about for the believer? 3 John 1:9. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what I say. Here's an example that John is writing to the church, and an individual that wouldn't accept what was being said because he wanted to be first. He wanted to be the one that was making the decisions. So it existed even in the early church as an indication. But if it's your way or the highway, and you feel like you always have to be right because it's about you, then you are an immature Christian. What's the remedy? 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you at the proper time. Humility is the remedy to that. Humbling yourselves. Putting your needs secondary. Putting your desires secondary. Putting what God has for you first. Number three. There is little depth to your understanding and study of Scripture. There is little depth to your understanding and study of Scripture. This would be an indication that you are still childish or immature in your faith. It's an earthly example of this. Child gets in the wrong things and must constantly be watched and taught to do what is right. You know, children are often getting into things that they shouldn't. Now, as parents, we're trying to watch them so they don't get into danger, right? Well, you know, we know the stove is hot. We know they're going to get burned. We're trying to keep them from touching the hot stove that would hurt them. But what does a kid do? They're going to run to that stove every time you tell them no. Right? Kind of learned early on with our children that instead of leaving things that we didn't want them to touch, let's just pick those things up and put them out of the way. Because by nature, they want to explore that. They want to touch and do the things. They don't have the understanding or the depth of what it is. First Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, long for the pure work of the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Why do we need to long for the pure milk? Because the pure milk is what builds us up and makes us strong spiritually. Now, not in an elementary status of just thinking, well, let's only just learn the simple things of the gospel or learn the simple truths of the Bible. Those are to build us up, to give us the appetite and the strength to digest the more depth level of understanding what the Bible teaches. So do you study and meditate on God's Word daily? Do you have any depth to your understanding of what the Bible is? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you meditate on it? All right, number four. Are you easily offended? Are you easily offended? Well, like a child, babies, especially I think about, are easily offended. Their feelings are easily hurt. When things don't go their way, they will whine, they will cry, they will pout, they will sulk, they'll even throw tantrums. They haven't learned to endure affliction, and they only know how to be offended when trouble comes. That's immaturity, folks. If you're easily offended, I would suspect that you have some immaturity. You need some maturity to take place in your life. That doesn't mean things don't happen that we get offended about, but that's when you kind of step back and you try to understand, well, why am I upset? Why am I offended by this? What did that person or that brother or that sister, what were they trying to do? Maybe I need to go talk to them and work this out and have an understanding of what was said, because maybe I misunderstood what they said. Or do we need to go back to the second point of, well, maybe I'm being admonished for something. I don't like that. That really bothers me. Indication of immaturity. Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I take us back to Galatians 5 and remind us of the fruit of the Spirit again. And the question really would be is, if you have these hanging fruit in your life, if this is what is evident of your life, well, how can you be offended when things happen? You should be strong enough to understand and to grow. Number 5. You are never satisfied. You are never satisfied or content. The idea that a child always wants something different. Again, they whimper, they cry, they pout. They want, you know, you give them a brand new toy and then, you know, the sibling gets a toy, they want that toy, right? So you give them that toy and then they want the other toy. Sign of immaturity. They're never satisfied. They're never content. And as spiritual individuals growing in maturity, we should be content and understand where God has placed us. How about the believer, though, that is constantly complaining? Oh, man, the sermon is going long again today. How come I wasn't picked to be on that committee? Who picked this color? They didn't ask my permission to paint that wall that color. Sign of immaturity. If even as a believer, you can't find contentment in what God has for you. Numbers 11:1, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Pretty much can safe to say God doesn't like complainers. Pretty safe to say that's not one of the fruits of the Spirit is complaining. A sign of maturity is contentment. Got some verses here to help you combat the challenges of discontentment or things that we can look at in Scripture specifically here. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. If you're rejoicing, you're content. You can't look at the things you don't have. How about Philippians 4:11? A few verses past that one. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. And in Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Being content is a sign of spiritual maturity. All right, number 6. You have a hard time staying clean. You have a hard time staying clean. The old saying, you can dress the child up, but you can't take them out. Right? Put them in their best clothes, but you can't take them outside. Reminded me of a story, or not a story, actually an event that took place here in this church a few years ago, a number of years ago now. Sister Pauline, it was your son Jeff that was here, and he brought his big semi-truck to church. I think he was on his way to hit the road for a trip that day, and he wanted to come to church before he left, and he had the truck here. And he had just greased the connector for where the trailer connects, the big round oval thing. I don't know what it's called, the technical term. The fifth wheel hitch. He had just greased that thing all up. And there was a young boy in the church. The mother had just put him in brand new white pants. And this young boy thought it'd be fun to slide down that greased hitch. Child will get into trouble. They will have a hard time staying clean. We kind of gave up years ago saying, you know, fine, you're going to wear your best shoes, tromp into the bud. Understand that's your best shoes and you're going to wear them again. You get them dirty, then you're going to have to clean them off. Because as kids, they gravitate towards being dirty. How about on a spiritual application? Do you run into sin or away from it? Do you run into sin or away from it? Do you avoid at all cost evil, even when it's convenient to do otherwise? And you know what I mean here by convenient? This convenience of like, well, nobody's ever going to know. Or it's monetarily beneficial for me to do this. I probably shouldn't, but you know, it's going to benefit. And nobody's ever going to know. Do you run into evil, into sin, or do you avoid it? That is an indication of your maturity level. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That is an indication of spiritual maturity. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Number 7. You often become jealous or critical over others' success or gifts. Become jealous or critical over others' success or gifts. Now I'll tell you that children will often compare themselves to others. We talked about this idea of they have one gift or one toy and somebody else has the other toy. They want that toy. They're going to compare it. There's some jealousy that exists there. It's the nature of a child to do that. They have to be taught not to act that way. To be taught that that's not the way to do things. Children will often complain or get upset when they're not picked for whatever. I wasn't picked first for the team. Or I wasn't picked to do this in Sunday school. I wasn't picked to whatever it is. A child often gets upset and complains over that. It's the nature of a child. It's the nature of a child to focus on those type of things, but not on the maturity of the individual. But unfortunately, immature Christians do the same thing. A few years back, we went through a tough time in this church. And there were some remarks and some real concern that there was nepotism taking place in this church. What is nepotism? It's favoritism towards a specific family. That there was favoritism shown because of a family affiliation and for no other reason. This has been a touchy and perhaps overly guarded concern ever since that time. I'm going to tell you that mature Christians will celebrate and support the people God placed in service. They're going to support and celebrate the calling of others, regardless of their family affiliation. I'm going to pick on myself here. I'm going to hold myself as an example in a couple areas. All right? First one is with my own children. I hold my kids back. It's a handicap that I put on them because I'm fearful of them going too far or doing something that maybe somebody else should be doing. I do it not only in church, I do it in my business. I have to work through that because they just want to serve the Lord or they just want to do a good job. All right? There's some wisdom and understanding when you hold back. There's some wisdom and understanding when maybe they should allow somebody else to take that lead. But at the same time, regardless of who it is, if God has gifted somebody to do a talent, you let them do that talent. You let them use that gift for the kingdom. For me, God has called me into service for Him when I committed my life to Him in 1980. Over the years of my ministry, I have served at any capacity God has provided for me to do. It wasn't because my name was Jivin. It's because my name was Christian. When God brought me to this church and into the family that was blessed with many children that love the Lord and are willing to serve Him in whatever capacity, who as they grew taught their kids to do the same thing, it never occurred to me that it was power trip. There is no room for nepotism thinking in God's kingdom. Period. Because we're all given the same favoritism by our Heavenly Father. So whether your name is Jivan or Pavkov or Kapuscinski or Webel or Capella or Gruitch or whatever, I can fill in the blank. Serve the Lord. Serve Him. Use your gifts and your talents wholly for the Lord. As an elder serving in this church, I am always open and looking for the person or persons God is calling to a ministry. It is my hope that we celebrate those callings and support them and help them fulfill that call. Because it's not the last name, it's Christian. Do you understand? That's what's important. A few verses to consider here. How about instead of looking at each other, we instead, as Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll say it again. There should be no criticism of those gifted and called by God that are serving biblically. Now, there's always room for correction when somebody is not in God's word or out of God's will. But if you have a gift and a talent, regardless of what you think your ability to accomplish that is, you need to move forward God's calling you to. And make that known to us as leaders. Brother Gary, Brother Albert, Brother myself, and the other brothers that are on the D board want in your life. We want to help you grow and develop for the kingdom. Why is that? Ephesians 4, 11 to 24. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of service, to building up of the body of Christ. We all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects in Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's the purpose of the gifts and talents. It's not some pride having some position. It's because it's to equip the saints so they can be strong. So we can do what God wants to do. So this I say, together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. All right, in the last few minutes that we have, I want to help you with just a few points to show the evidence of things that you'll have in your life, again, that you are growing towards spiritual maturity. The first one is faith. We will have faith. We'll have a strong faith, or our faith will continue to develop and grow. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Another evidence that we're going to have is we're going to have love. 1 John 4:7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does God, for God is love. We're going to have love in our lives. We're going to have faith in our lives. We're going to have faith in God, right? Something else. We're going to be willing to teach others. Matthew 28. We always think of Matthew 28 as an evangelistic passage, that we're supposed to go out and spread the gospel by itself. But read it. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's not just telling them about the gospel. What is a disciple? Disciples spent years training and learning under the tutelage, the apostles specifically, of Jesus Christ. And those that didn't know him or meet him in person, per se, still learned his teachings. Disciples. Go and make disciples of others. Teach them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, Jesus said. Maturity. Spiritual maturity. You're going to teach others. We should never have a hard time finding people to teach Sunday school in this church. We should not have a hard time, and we are, folks, finding individuals to come along the side of young men and women, teenagers, that are making a commitment for Christ, but need somebody to disciple and help them. We need you to do that, as well as necessary. Organize this church and said God is in our going to help. Other sign, mature attention. And he has to dedicate one and seven good deeds for one and see. And you should not need Christ in a few years for the work of his talent. And do not under compulsion. Secret dreamer that weeks and deputize and on chart. So much of a gift. If you wrote to you when you give it to God, know that enough to fill in that you write. You can get forget the idea of the resource zone and honor this from the soul. That's what's done in the end. He wanted this heart to Matthew 9, the beatitude of the peacemaker, false God, and the peacemaker. I'm going to be forever, right? So all I want is nobody in this room. Nobody here don't want you to church 1 week or once every few weeks. You need to fill that God. You will be able to.